Wisconsin Eye is in Milwaukee. We're in Milwaukee City Hall interviewing the new Milwaukee Common Council President, Alderman Michael Murphy. Michael, thanks for hosting Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me on your program.
Let's start with the basics. What are the powers of a Common Council President?
Well, I get to appoint ambassadors, I sign treaties. No, in all seriousness, I don't. I get to appoint committee chairs for the council. Okay. I serve really in case, God forbid, something happens to the mayor. I fill in his seat as second in command. And I oversee the legislative branch of government, which is a critical component of our city.
Mm. And you've been on the council since?
25 years. 1989, I was elected in a special election, so I'm coming up on my anniversary.
And before that, you were an aide?
I worked as a legislative assistant to then Senator Brian Burke, who was at that time Alderman.
Right. Well, talk to me about the changes you've seen in your city as while you were an aide and now on the council.
Seen a lot of changes, some good, not all some good. So some of the great things that have gone in our city, we've seen huge development in our downtown community, a lot more residential, a lot more activity, wonderful entertainment activities that have been offered to our citizens. On the reverse side, unfortunately, we've seen an increased level of poverty in our community. And certainly that's been a big change that I've seen. Also, a great significant added benefit, though, has been the huge influx of Latinos in our community who have created many new industries and new jobs in our community, and that's been a big change also.
Well, talk to me about, in his State of the City speech, the mayor talked about the importance of immigration reform. So that's a huge issue for the city of Milwaukee?
It is. You know, and my parents are immigrants, and so I'm the first of my brothers to be born in the United States. So I think I would say that I have a pretty good understanding of the issues facing the immigrant community. A little bit different, obviously. My parents came here knowing the English language, and there were strong Irish connections. But with the Latino community, I think they've been a huge benefit for our city, and we're very proud of what's happened. In terms of a comprehensive immigration reform, you know, obviously it looks like it's going to be stalled by the Republicans in the House in the United States Capitol. But I do think eventually we will hopefully get there to that point.
Well, traveling with that is the issue of minimum wage. Do you think it should be increased to 10-10?
Well, the city of Milwaukee created a living wage ordinance back in the 90s, and it hasn't harmed us. We've been able to work it well. People forget, you know, 70% of the national economy is consumer spending. And with the greater schism between the wealthy and the middle class and the poor, reducing that level of ability for people to have a living wage, it hurts the economy. So in many respects, I think moving, just if it had kept up with inflation, it would be beyond $10. So I think, you know, we need to look at increasing it. And I think it would be better if it was statewide versus local community.
Well, there's a bill in the Capitol right. That deals with this issue. Would that hurt the city of Milwaukee's ordinance?
Well, it would hurt us in this context. It would take away some of our ability. Fortunately, as I understand it, they have made some changes to take away some of the negative impacts upon the city of Milwaukee's current policy of living wage. But I agree with Speaker Voss. I mean, you know, let local communities legislate. You know, he indicated, you know, maybe we're going in too far in terms of local government and interfering with their ability to control their own destiny. And, you know, I would just advise the legislature, if they want to become aldermen or become city councilors, run for the seat. I mean, I'm getting a little annoyed. They're going to get to the point where they're going to start deciding where stoplights go. You know, let us legislate our own actions.
Well, okay, which leads me into, you don't consider the state senate and assembly really friends of the city of Milwaukee and your goals. But here's my question. Is that because of the erosion of local control?
Well, a number of issues. Part of it's an erosion, getting back to what's different from 25 years ago. The city of Milwaukee had a much stronger legislative ability to effectuate change in the state. Part of it was because of redistricting changed things a lot. Mm-hmm. But as a result of not having that influence, local control has been eroded substantially. And it's ironically, it's under a Republican legislature, which has taken away a lot of local control, which is against big government coming in and controlling things. So yeah, it's been frustrating, certainly on the issue of residency, certainly on issues on how we effectuate our ability to manage our city on a number of issues. It's been frustrating, to say the least.
Talk about the residency issue. Now, the city of Milwaukee is enjoined from enforcing its residency issue, but that's in the courts.
Right.
So what are the potential, if you lose that court suit, what's at stake?
Well, it took away something that's been in place for over 75 years. This is an employment contract between our employees and us. We feel if somebody chooses to apply for a job in the city of Milwaukee, that's a choice. They chose to apply for a position. They knew the terms of the contract, and now they're able to get out of the contract through the legislature. And we think there's great value in having police officers and firefighters living in your community, because I can tell you from personal experience, they make a difference. And when they're not here, that affects their attitude and their ability to perform their jobs. And I think that's going to be a long-term negative consequence for our city.
The compromise that was passed and signed into law says firefighters or emergency workers can live within how far?
I think they have it like at 10 miles.
10 miles.
Yeah.
Is that a meaningless?
It's meaningless.
Compromise?
It's meaningless. Because you know what will happen. Lawyers will get together and say, well, 10 miles from where? City Hall? From the border? I mean, we have people, you know, we'll move probably further out of there. And I think that's a meaningless issue.
When I look at your district, here's what strikes me. You have Miller Park, the East-West Freeway, and the Zoo Freeway, don't you?
Yes.
Well, Miller Park is established, and we can talk about how you pay for sports arenas later, but state of Wisconsin is borrowing $993 million just to continue current transportation plans.
Right.
Zoo Freeway, East-West Freeway, let's talk about them separately. Let's talk about the zoo. Is that going to be done over a longer period because of the state funding problem?
Well, if you're driving out the Nora, you can see they're working it pretty aggressively, fixing it now. But the issue between the two projects, we're talking $2.5 billion
yes.
at a minimum. Yeah. And the concern I have is, for example, in the corridor on the East-West study, you know, where they're looking at doing a double-decker bridge over neighborhoods, basically in the area I represent, that's $180 to $200 million just to build a very short double-decker bridge. I think there should be a better engineering solution, which would save $200 million and not put that burden on my daughter's future, because much of this funding is going to be borrowed. And that cost will end up costing not only my daughter a lot of money, but citizens throughout the state. So we should try and minimize that cost and still provide, you know, a proper, safe options for people getting on and off the freeway and the commerce of traffic. But they should be looking at ways to save money.
Well, we just interviewed Mayor Barrett. He wants nothing to do with the double-decker. Is that still a real live option, that double-decker proposal?
Oh, it's the option from the very day one. I think they've gone through this exercise of seeking out public input, the DOT has. But I met with the secretary and the DOT secretary in the mayor's office, and I'll be perfectly frank. I think that their mission has been double-decker from the beginning. And I think when the end of their analysis, they're going to come out and they're going to support double-decker. And we're going to fight it, and we have been fighting it, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, the mayor says, let's drop the speed limit, 55 to 45. Is that a non-starter idea?
What I've heard from the state DOT, it's a non-starter. What I've communicated to them is, you know, listen, I think we could be willing to looking at putting in four lanes within the existing footprint without disturbing the grave sites. But we have to come up with an engineering solution to keep the Holly Road entrance and exit open for commerce from West Milwaukee, West Dallas, and Milwaukee. They've been reluctant to do that.
Well, transportation is a huge issue for your city. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah.
Middle-class workers need bus systems. The RTA has been debated. I mean, the status of transportation in the city of Milwaukee, what are the needs?
It's molasses. I mean, it's been so slow. I mean, I've been around, so I've seen the WTA project being proposed years ago. It was approved. The governor and then county executive really squashed it. The reality is it makes little to no sense that we don't have a regional transportation authority. I'll tell you why. Employers west of Milwaukee are subsidizing currently right now out of their own pockets for employees. You know, demographically shift is occurring right now. 10,000 people a day are turning 65. These people are retiring. They're going to need new workers. Where are they going to get them? You can't live in their communities because it's too expensive and they don't provide any affordable housing out there. How are they going to get workers? How are these companies going to grow in our state if they can't get out there? It's in their own self-interest. If they want to continue subsidizing with their own money, transportation, and is disjointed and disorganized, it's to their folly. I mean, that's why it takes leadership at a state level to say, you know, enough is enough. Let's get a regional transportation plan. But it's been, you know, pretty frustrating.
What's at stake in this election for governor for city of Milwaukee?
Well, a lot. The city has not had much ability to effectuate change at the state level. We've been seriously harmed by significant cuts to our shared revenue program. been cut by transportation aids. And the reality is that I have a, you know, I've known Governor when he worked as at the Red Cross, so I've known him for a long time. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's a good person. I just don't agree with his policies, and his policies have not been very helpful for our city. So that's why I'm championing the city as much as I can.
So Mary Burke would be a better governor?
You know, I don't know her very well. I've never met her, but I want to sit down and talk to her.
Okay. You mentioned the growth in poverty you've seen as your experience as a public official. What are you causes of that?
Education is probably the key issue.
Okay.
You know, lack of education, a lack of mobility to find jobs in our own community. The inability for many citizens because of their, and let's talk specifically about the African-American community, mm-hmm. the statistics are pretty horrendous. So, you know, some of the statistics show that African-American male, by the time age 30 in the Milwaukee area, has had some involvement with the criminal court system. So that's a huge barrier getting into a job of employment. Subsequently, also, you have a situation where many of them, the children are growing up without a father, which plays a big role. So it's just a combination of a lot of different issues that have really hurt. And, of course, you know, with the changing industries that now require not just a high school but certainly advanced education, that's a huge challenge. And then when you look at the employment base, we're doing everything we can to make the city of Milwaukee a friendly business climate, and we're going to continue to do that. But notwithstanding that, a lot of companies being created throughout the region, and the impediment of getting to those jobs, and it gets back to the regional transportation issue. So it's ironic that we're going to spend billions on expanding the freeway system. We don't allow housing for our citizens to live in these communities outside of Milwaukee, and yet that's where the employment base will be. You still want to pay them fairly minimum wages, so you want them to spend more of their money on cars, which is more expensive and takes a greater share out of their per capita income. So it's very frustrating for the city. And so, you know, that's why I think, you know, if anything going forward is to try and develop more allies within the state legislature to let them realize, you know, the city of Wisconsin, as it goes, is going to be heavily dependent on how its larger city goes. So once again, we got to find common ground. It's in your own self-interest to help us.
With GOP majorities in both the Senate and the Assembly, are they interested in the future of Milwaukee? You've been up there enough to know.
Yeah, I haven't been up enough. I've been up, and I had the great pleasure of sitting down and talking with Speaker Voss. It's one of the things I did. I always to him immediately. But it was really telling. I mean, he spent a good hour and a half with me and his staff, and I'm grateful for that. But I laid out the budget process. I've served as chair of the Finance Committee for 10 years, and I brought my budget director. I went through the numbers. I said, listen, the books are open. I want to be as transparent as possible. But at the end of the hour and a half, he goes, you know, Michael, I really appreciate what you presented here, and very thoughtful. End of the day, none of my members would believe a word you're saying. And I said, I know. And that's part of the problem. I said, I just think you guys don't realize the good things we're doing financially, you know, what we're doing to try and balance our city's finances with the huge problem of poverty. And I think sometimes you guys listen to some of the rhetoric out there that is always hammering us, and it just isn't true. Look at our numbers. You can take a look at them. Here's my books. So I'm going to work with Speaker Voss and work with him going forward to try and get them to understand we have some unique problems in our state. Part of it's not our own creation. You know, we as a region have kept poor people in cities. And you know, the consequences of that, then you say, oh, look at all their problems. I say, yeah. Well, how about allowing people to live in other parts of the community? Allow for affordable housing.
Well, I'm kind of surprised at Speaker Voss's response, because here's my follow-up question. He's alluding to his members. Are they not interested in the city of Milwaukee, or do they not have time to get the same hour and a half lecture?
No, I think they're interested. I just think they've been hearing so many stories from so many conservative people who have a bent on hammering us and bashing us. They tend to believe it all. And it's like, you know, read our budget. You know, look at our numbers. You know, it's not, don't look at a headline once every, 6 months. Sit down and I'll show you everything I have. I mean, it's pretty clear. And, I think I can do a better job at communicating with them, and that's one of my goals in the next 2 years I'm in as president.
Exactly 3 years ago, the Capitol was in the throes of the Act 10 mm-hmm. debate. Has Act 10 been good physically for the city of Milwaukee, and what about its workforce, just the impact of Act 10?
Yeah, now Act 10 affects only a small segment of our employees.
When you exempt police and fire.
Keep in mind, police and fire constitute 60% of my operational budget. They're 40% of my personnel. I collect $225 million in property taxes. $227 is my cost for the police department alone. Police, you know, is a pretty high item.
Your property tax revenue, $225? Police and fire cost you $227?
No, police $227.
Just police $227.
Fire is $100 million.
Okay.
So I don't even collect enough on property taxes to pay for my public safety. You know, and they have very tough jobs, police officers in our city and firefighters. So I don't, you know, they have a tough job. But, you know, their benefits are incredible, and maybe rightfully so for some reasons. But, I mean, until recently, you could retire at age 43 as a police officer. The legacy costs of the pension and health care are huge. So the governor protected them, exempt them. And he said, the rest of the government, do whatever you want to them. You know, and so the burden has fallen on all these other employees. And we've frozen salaries, you know, for really ostensibly 5 years, with the exception of this year, 1% increase. So everybody is, you know, taking a bigger hit. The question is, Act 10, could have we have gotten out of the recession and still run our city without Act 10? I think we could have. It would have been without a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. It would have sat down with those union members and said, you got two choices. I can lay all of you off and keep a few on, or everybody can suck it up. And everybody can take a hit and take a pay freeze and agree that we're going to freeze all these issues. You're going to pay more in health care. But after 5 years, and hopefully the economy returns, we can revisit this. So you got a pretty clear choice. We had some good discussions with our union. In fact, before Act 10 instituted, asked me, did agree to that. And they only did it for a year, but they agreed to it. So I think we could have gotten there. It wouldn't have been without pain, though. And everybody would have to have some compromising. It could have been done. It probably couldn't have been done with police and fire, but it could have been done with the other members.
Well, you talk about police department. How safe is this city?
You know, it's comparable to other cities across the country. I think it's a very safe city. And like most, unfortunately, like most cities are across the United States, the crime is in a concentrated area. And so you tend to focus on all the negatives. So people focus on the homicide numbers. And I think that's not a good number to focus on, because two-thirds of people who are killed know each other. And the reality is every death is a loss for all of us. The reality is that's not a good number to look at in terms of crime statistics. And we should be looking at other numbers, looking at robberies, armed robberies, burglaries. And if you look at that, we've had a reduction over these years, a significant reduction. And I think police Chief Flynn is a great chief. He's evidence-based and really looking at fighting crime. I think we added more officers this year budget. The mayor put in 100. I added an additional 20. We're really improving our detective bureau. I think we will see even further reductions. But, you know, the other side of this coin, too, and we spend an awful lot of money on enforcement, and we spend a lot on corrections. We spend $33,000 a year in the state to house somebody in a house of correction. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to think a long term how we got to change that attitude. There are several zip codes. I met with the parole officers, not the top guys, but the guys who are doing the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they show me the census tract and all the parolees. And, you know, what a huge waste of human capital. So, you know, doing a better job of getting the kids at an earlier age and trying to change their course is a lot cheaper than spending more money now on the correction systems than we do our university system. That's a bad story. So I think it's something all of us in the state can work on. And in fact, I'm working across a number of borders right now to try and put on a summit addressing the crisis of heroin in our community.
Let's talk about heroin.
Yeah.
You've watched the emergence of that as a scourge. Is it true that heroin bought in your city is being bought by residents of the suburbs?
Yeah. But
is that too simplistic?
It is simplistic because it's a regional issue. But we've had, if you look at the number of deaths in our region, people would be shocked at how many overdoses are occurring right now. And it's striking across all demographics, between young and old, rich and poor, black and white. Yes, we've had suburbanite kids come here and buy drugs. But, you know, we've had other kids go out from Milwaukee to buy drugs out there. The big issue is, you know, looking at treatment, looking at, you know, regional cooperation and enforcement. But I was around when the crack epidemic started. And, you know, I see what's coming down right now. Heroin is a 30-year cheap price right now. And I have friends who worked in the Chicago Police Department in Chicago. It's the bellwether. It's pretty horrible down there. And so if we're going to make a difference in stopping some of the burglaries that are going on to pay for the buy the heroin, you know, we got to work together. And so I've talked to different people from different groups, both Republican and Democrat. Representative Nygren's taking some leadership on this. Right. There's a lot of people, I think, of goodwill who are willing to put aside political differences on this one and work together. And
what does the summit do?
A couple things. One, I want to put a real action plan together in which not just have a one-day meeting, I want to put together a plan in which we follow up and making differences. And what I mean by that is how we try and get more funding for some of the treatment agencies that are out there that need more, because I hear from some of the agencies who are doing it, they just don't have the resources. Two, making sure we educate the public about the crisis. And a lot of people, it's buried. They don't want to talk about it. You know, but I've talked to mothers who have called me, who've lost their children. And, you know, we need to do a better job of educating our kids about the crisis. And, you know, a lot of kids move from the prescription drugs in the medicine cabinet mm-hmm. and think heroin, you know, isn't, they don't have the stigma that you and I may have grown up with it. And, you know, it's much more concentrated now. And so trying to educate them on that and change their course. And then law enforcement, we have, you know, we want to make sure all our agencies are coordinating together.
The new subject, a few blocks from here, the Bucks have got a 2017 date to get a new arena. That's tied to expansion of the convention center. Let me ask this question. If it were up to you, how would you pay for a new Bucks arena and expanded convention center? If you were king.
If I was king, I would really encourage people who are really wealthy that should take it out of their own pocket and pay for it. But the reality is that ain't going to happen. So I do think they're not always connected, just so you know. I think there is a separation on the convention center. And
it's not one project?
No. I mean,
it can be bifurcated
I think that, you know, probably will be. You know,
really?
Which
comes first, the arena?
Well, it was, you know, when we did the original Braille, they were bifurcated.
Yes.
But I would say,
then you had the downtown
and
authority.
The Pettits are incredibly generous, and but it's this is a really tough political one because you got both the mayor and the governor, you know, nobody wanting to come out and say how it's going to be paid for.
Well, Tim Sheehy says there's going to be no recommendations until after the election for governor, right?
Yeah, what a pass. So anyway. Yeah, I think that was amazing.
Does it have to be a regional dedicated funding source?
Well, three of the five counties have already said no of our dead bodies. And they've
How
already
get it done then?
It's really tough. This is a tough one because you got three of the counties that said no way. Speaker Voss I've met with and I've been in a forum with him. He said, we're not paying for it.
Meaning the state or?
His region, he represents West Virginia.
Yes, he does.
And I think he knows. Yeah, so he's not supportive of it. And then, you know, they got the governor who's says that should be a referendum. And if it's going to be a referendum and it's just going to be a city of Milwaukee, I can tell you it's going to fail because 30% of my citizens are in poverty. They don't go to the center that often, and they're going to say to us, "Let me get this straight. I'm paying to improve this facility, which will spend." Millions on, probably half a billion, to improve the suites so the NBA can make more revenue, and I'll never go there.
Right.
And who's going there? Oh, people from Washington, Waukesha, and Ozaukee County. By the way, you're not going to get reelected, so it ain't going to happen.
And what about the salaries that some of those Bucks players play? I haven't heard any recommendations. Should there be a new arena?
You know, I think... I've been vocal about the issue. I think the arena is important to our city, you know, in the context of the NBA gives us national, international recognition. But I look at it, I quite honestly, I'm a bit of a fiscal conservative. So I've always, the Bradley Center, you got to take into mind what most economists say. Andrew Zimbalist recently wrote about it, spoke about it. You know, it's a substitution effect. And so I look at it as what is the rate of return for us? If we make that investment, what is it going to return to us? So I'm not saying that we can't maybe figure out a way to do it, but it's daunting right now to figure out. And if it's just the city of Milwaukee, it's not going to happen.
You don't want to be the council president.
Yeah, everybody says that to me.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Are you willing to be the council president that loses the Bucks?
I'm not willing to give up right now. And I'm not willing to say that we're not going to work hard to try and figure out a solution. I'm just saying that when you look at the political climate right now, it's pretty hard to see a course which unless there's a substantial contribution both from domestically or internationally. I think internationally is not out of the question.
Who's going to write that check?
You know, there's people who own NBA teams who are not in the United States.
Wow.
And so it's not out of the question.
Okay, let's talk about a good news subject. The mayor just told me, and you agree, City of Milwaukee Pensions is what, one of the strongest in the nation?
Yes, it is. I'm very proud of that. I always consider serving on the pension board total public service. I've been on it for 22 years.
Are there any threats to the stability of the City of Milwaukee Pension?
No, not at the, well, the only threat I would say is the abuse that's occurring with police officers in the duty disability program. But substantively, that will not have a material effect on our finances. Fiscally, we're one of the best. Pew National Research came out and reviewed 83 public employee pension systems across the country. We were ranked number one. Our assets and liabilities are nearly 100%. We've had return of, on our investments that's higher than SWIB, State of Wisconsin, and the county by far. And we have low cost. It's well managed. You know, I chair the invest committee over 10 years. We've done a good job. But that's why I put through major changes last year on pension reform legislation. I spent a year with the task force. We came up and made substantial changes. I'm going to negotiate some changes with the police and fire, but we were able to do it for other employees. Because you got to remember, pension costs are forever. And you got to limit your legacy costs, or you're going to put the burden on your future taxpayers. And so you got to look long term, especially if you want to maintain a high credit rating with SWIB, well, with Standard & Poor's and Moody's. So I think one thing they've said to us is that we're managing it well and we're looking long term. So we made some significant changes, but we treat our employees still fairly.
The governor has not made a decision on the Kenosha Casino. He seems to be finding a way to say yes. Impact on the city if he says yes?
Well, I think part of it is, unfortunately, I think it's, he gets campaign contributions from both until after the election. Let's be honest about it. I mean, that's the reality. And, yeah, it would hurt us if the Kenosha Casino is approved. Potawatomi has made a huge investment. They're opening up their new hotel. They employ thousands of people. They employ probably one of the largest segments of minorities in our community. And if the Kenosha Casino is built, there will be a loss to our region, to our city.
What characteristics are you, as a city leader, looking for in the next MPS superintendent?
Longevity. I'm tired of the revolving door.
You don't like the 4 years
out? It's ridiculous. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, somebody that changed the course of MPS in 3 years, just, you know, the natural inherent bureaucracy for not wanting to see things move quickly. It's the first year you're learning about it, and then the second year, you know, you're starting to get your feel, and then the third year they look for a new job. So it'd be nice to have somebody who's going to say a commitment, I'm here, I'm going to stick here at least 5 years, we're going to have some measures to show what we're going to change, and you can test me on this. And, you know, current superintendent, I have a great rapport with him. I thought he was going in the right direction, but, you know, it's a little hard when people sit down and tell you and I'm committed to making a change and improving the education system of the city, and they're gone in 3 years.
Choice, charter schools, virtual schools, have they eroded, have they hurt MPS and ability to educate Milwaukee children?
You know, I just for public information, I supported choice in charter schools. I think it's a mixed bag. I think there were some terrible charter and choice schools. I think they were open and do deserve criticism about not comparing each other in terms of academic standards and measures. But I do also know some really great schools. Choice and charter have really made a big difference. The downtown Montessori program is a great school. You know, St. Marcus has been a very good school. But I've also had bad schools, too. So I would say it's a mixed bag.
Okay. In his State of the City, the mayor called for legalization of same-sex marriage. Is your position the same?
It is. I think it'll happen in the next 10 years throughout most of the states throughout the country.
We talked about the police department and public safety. But let me ask you this question. Last year was a bad year for murders.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing about this year? Better?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think there's better coordination within the intelligence unit, within the police department, identifying the individuals. We have a homicide review task force, and we're identifying individuals within gang members who, quite honestly, retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
and some for absolutely stupid things, well, any type of crime, but I think we're going to see an improvement. But once again, I don't think homicides, you know, mayors and other people always point to them. They're not the greatest indicator of how safe your community is. It gets the great headlines. But in the end of the day, I think Chief Flynn's a really good chief, and he's going to make a difference.
Is ShotSpotter a big deal? You know, Voss offered some money.
Yeah,
that's going to be approved.
It is, and we're appreciative of that. I know that they originally voted against it, but then they came and learned and shows that they can change, which is huge, I think. And I think it will. Technology is getting better, and we're going to announce a new program in the next few days using cameras in our commercial quarters. It's going to also improve the safety.
We're out of time. I just have one more question. When we do this interview in 5 years, you'll be a successful Common Council president if, finish it.
More people are employed, it's a safer streets in our community, and people have a greater sense and pride in their community.
Council President Michael Murphy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.